Good evening and welcome to another online Wednesday night Bible study. I'm so glad you can join us, and tonight we're starting a new series called Fear Factor. We're going to learn a little bit about fear in the life of a Christian and how fear can affect us, and specifically how it can affect our potential in God. And so before we get onto the lesson, I just want to make one announcement, and that is that this Sunday night there will be prayer and communion at the church, or communion at the church, I should say. And so please make every effort to book the evening service and to be there. If you aren't able to be at the communion service, you can actually pick up the communion kits from the church office through the week between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Or if you're here on the Sunday morning, you can pick up the kit on the Sunday morning. Okay, so that's Sunday night. This Sunday night, communion service. All right, so the lesson tonight is the first lesson, and it's titled Buried by Fear. Buried by Fear. So tonight, if you've been alive for any amount of time, you would have experienced fear in your life. Perhaps fear due to something you've experienced, or fear due to something you've seen or something somebody has said. Fear is a very common part of every one of our lives, and we want to understand exactly whether fear should be in the Christian's life, has a role in the Christian's life, or whether it absolutely should not be a part of the Christian's life. And so I want to start out by saying when I was young, there was a time when I must have been about 7 years old at a playground, and I was climbing across some copper's logs, maybe about 6 foot high off the ground. And I remember at a certain point realizing that I was going to fall, and there was no way I could save myself. And I hit the ground, and I didn't break any bones. I probably bruised my ego more than anything. But I remember, it's ever since that time, I've found myself, I guess, fearful of heights. Whenever I stand next to a height where I know I would definitely hurt myself if I fell off the height, I am very intimidated. And very often I need to give myself a meter between the edge of something, even if there's a railing, because I have this fear of heights. Christmas time when it comes, and my wife wants me to put some Christmas lights up on the roof, I tell you what, it's an interesting experience, let's put it that way. And maybe you've experienced different things in your life that have caused fears to arise. Maybe fears of insects like spiders, fears of the dark, fears of crowds, fears of confined spaces. There's many things in our life that can bring fears. And so we should ask the question, are all fears bad? Some fears are actually quite healthy when we think about it. If we didn't have a fear of spiders or snakes, then we probably wouldn't live as long as we might if we have that fear. Even a fear of heights has its place, because we don't want to be falling off things from a height that may injure us. But it's when these natural fears begin to dominate our life and our thinking, this is when it becomes a problem. And this is when it becomes paranoia or even a phobia. Now, phobias are things that are often not just a fear, but it's something that can often be irrational. It's an irrational fear of something that's unlikely to cause harm. For instance, hydrophobia literally translates to fear of water. Phobias are different than regular fears because people with phobias will actively avoid the phobic object or situation. And because of this, phobias can cause significant distress and interference into life at home or at work or at school. Phobias are actually a type of anxiety disorder. And more than 30% of adults today are estimated to have experienced anxiety disorders at some point in their life. Now, phobias typically fall within five general categories. a fear related to animals, as we've mentioned, snakes and spiders, insects. Fears related to the natural environment, such as heights, thunder or darkness. Fears related to blood, injury or medical issues, such as broken bones and falls, even injections. Fears related to specific situations like flying in an aeroplane or riding on an elevator or even driving a vehicle. Fears associated with other things such as it could be choking, it could be drowning, it could be loud noises. And there are even specific phobias such as the fear of chickens. Not something you'd think of, but there are such things in existence. Fear of names, fear of beards, fear of clouds, fear of ice or cold. There's even such a thing as a fear of fears. That's right, a fear of fears. And apparently this is more common than we think. It's called a phobophobia. So this is quite distressing when we think about the power of unhealthy fear in our life. And there are three ways fear can manifest in our life. The first way is through personal fears. And these are typically based on things that we've experienced ourselves, such as falling off out of a tree or falling from a height, developing a fear of heights. Even fears that come from situations that you have seen. Maybe you've seen someone get swooped by a magpie. It's that season. And they've been screaming and carrying on like it's the end of the world. And you've witnessed this. And suddenly you have a fear of magpies. It's not because you've experienced it, but you've seen it. So personal fears is the first way. The second way is sharing other people's fears. This is where other people fear something and they transmit that fear to you. They may tell you about a really scary dog attack that happened when they were young and it bit into them, and ever since they've walked with a limp. And so suddenly when you're around dogs, you have this natural fear, even perhaps smaller dogs, just simply because somebody had a bad experience and they shared that with you. And very often this can happen with within families. Parents can pass this on to their children. And so children can have these fears, even though they've never experienced the actual, the attack from the dog in this instance. And fears can typically come from just general things in the world, things that make you feel uneasy or uncertain. We often hear about things that could happen, even though they probably are very unlikely. A local crime rate increasing in your neighborhood, downturn in the economy, the potential for a terrorist threat. These are all things that potentially can happen, but are probably not likely. But we can dwell on them and we can make them much bigger than what they really are, and we can allow that to generate a fear within us. The Oxford Dictionary defines fear as an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat or danger of danger, pain or harm. And some have suggested an acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Satan twists the purpose of fear, and he uses our emotions to intimidate us, to sabotage your view of yourself, to sabotage your view of the church, and to sabotage your view of others. But because emotions are often unstable, emotions are unreliable, we can't rely on what we feel. But we need something sure. We need something that's firm, and that's why we rely on the Word of God. The Word of God is our gauge. So tonight, I want to draw our attention to fear in the Christian life. Does it belong in the Christian life? The Bible speaks about having fear of God. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, this can be interpreted, the honor and respect for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It refers to a healthy regard for God and not a fear leading to a paranoia of God's wrath. But there is a fear that can take a hold of us on a spiritual level if we don't manage our life according to God's word. I'm not talking about evil spirits tormenting us, but I'm talking about a fear that will hinder us spiritually or hinder our spiritual growth, hinder us from reaching our potential in God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And as Christians, fear must never rule our lives if we intend to become everything that God has purposed for us. It doesn't have a place. The word sound in sound mind means self-disciplined. It means that we need to have self-discipline in our minds. We need to manage our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so when we have these fearful thoughts, we need to take them captive. We need to bind them and bring them into the obedience of Christ, into the obedience of Christ. We have a responsibility to control and manage our thought life. And ultimately, God wants each of us to face our fears by finding our peace and our assurance in Him. So we're going to focus our lesson tonight on the parable of the talents, a very well-known parable. And it's found in Matthew 25 and verse 14 to 30. You can read this in your own time, but I'll read a portion of it tonight. Matthew 25, it starts at 14 and goes to 30. So let's read, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey." All right. "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' And then he who had received this 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away.' And verse 30, 'And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" My goodness. So this is the parable of the talents. A man traveled into a far country. He decided to give his servants part of his fortune before he left. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now we should understand that a talent was a form of money that was used in that day. And 1 talent was estimated to be worth many thousands of dollars. So he gave each man according to his ability to manage it. And then when he returned, he wanted them to give account of how they had used the talent. The problem was that while both the first and the second servants doubled their talents, the third servant had buried his in the ground because he was afraid. He refused to use what his master had given him because of his fear. His fear had controlled him and caused him not to invest, not to use that talent in any way. Now the Lord called him wicked and slothful and told him to give his talent to the one with 10 talents. And the servant was cast into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that may seem a little severe, but this shows us what God thinks of fear. This is quite eye-opening. So we understand that this fear is not an adequate excuse with God for not using our talent or our ability or our resources. In fact, fear is a trait that God really despises. If we read in Revelation 21 and verse 8, we find a list of sins that are abominable to God. And it says that those who do them shall inherit their part in the lake of fire. But at the beginning of this list, it lists the word cowardly, those who are cowardly. We can read it. It says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So it's interesting to see that amongst all of these wicked people, he includes the cowardly. So it shows us fear has no place in the life of a Christian. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Psalms 118 and verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And in Acts 5:29, we read about Peter and the other apostles when they were being persecuted for teaching in the name of Jesus. We ought to obey God rather than men. They weren't afraid of what man would do unto them. They said, we ought to obey God. In spite of this persecution, in spite of what's coming against us, we're not afraid. We ought to obey God rather than men. So we can't let fear hinder us from using our resources. Based on the parable of the talents and this scripture in Revelation, we can conclude that what we do with our God-given talents has eternal ramifications. So God has great expectations for each of us if we won't fear. Now today our talents represent everything that God has given us. It's not just a financial thing, but it represents our possessions, our natural abilities, all that we are. And we need to ask the question, are we using what God has given us for his kingdom? And also, are there any talents God has given us that we are not using because we are afraid? Perhaps we are afraid of failure. We may think of a talent we have. What if I could sing? I'll be afraid of singing out of tune or singing the wrong words. And so I'm afraid of failure, so I don't use my voice for God's glory. I may be afraid of ridicule. What if I sing the wrong words? I sing out of tune and people laugh. My reputation will be ruined. And so I'm afraid of being ridiculed, so I won't use my ability, my talent. Perhaps we feel our talent is too insignificant to make a difference. This perhaps was the feeling of the one talent servant. But we should remember the boy with the two fish and the 5 loaves of bread who presented it to Jesus. And Jesus was able to bless it and multiply it and feed 5,000 men. And so no matter what our talent is, no matter how great or how small, God is able to use it for his kingdom. And he wants us to offer it up to him. Perhaps we're afraid of losing out, giving to God's kingdom and then not receiving anything back. Well, the scripture says that we ought to give and it will come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together and running over, it says in Luke 6:38. Psalms 27 and 35, the psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so God is no man's debtor. We can never outgive God. But we can find many excuses for not actively using our talents for God's kingdom. But the fact is, God expects us to overcome our fear and to be productive for his kingdom. Jesus himself told his parents in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, why do you seek me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Even at a young age, Jesus did not allow fear to hinder him from working for the kingdom of God. So we mustn't allow fear to tell us what we can and can't do. Because the reality is, 40% of what we fear will never happen to us. 40% of what we fear is imaginary. 22% of what we worry about is outside of our control. And 30% of what we fear will happen and can't be changed. So we can only influence 8% of what we worry about. So the question is asked, how do we overcome fear in our life? We know it shouldn't be in our life, so how do we overcome it? Well, firstly, we should not listen to the voices of fear, voices that bring a negative message. We don't dwell and stew on negative thoughts. We can do this to the point where it affects our emotions and it can affect our physical health. When we overthink things, we dwell on the negative, we dwell on things that could go wrong, we worry, and we don't give things to God. But the scripture says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, it says, think on these things. These are the things that we should be thinking on, not the things that cause fear and bring distress in our life. The second way we can overcome fear is believe that God has amazing plans for your life. We're all familiar with Jeremiah 29 verse 11, which says, God has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We must remember that God desires to bless our life. He's not trying to curse our life. He's for us. Jesus said that God numbers the very hairs on our head. And he said, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts, give good things to those who ask him? And so we need to remember and remind ourselves, God is for me. God has a plan for my life. The third way we can overcome is by being proactive. Let's not wait for the perfect circumstance before we do something for the Lord. Let's not wait for the perfect team or the perfect finances to come into play or the perfect family situation. We've got to get busy about the kingdom of God now. If we try to wait till everything lines up, we will never do anything for God. And so we've got to be proactive. God isn't looking for someone to be perfect, but he is looking for someone who values what he has given and will use it. He's looking for someone who will be available, someone who will be willing to step out and trust him. And this leads us to the next point, stepping out in faith. This is another way to overcome fear in our life, faith. Faith without works is dead. James 2:14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? So as Christians, we operate on faith. We believe in faith. But if faith hasn't got works, then do we really have faith? Faith is the answer to combating fear, because fear stops where faith begins. Faith enables you to move forward and to achieve through God. Faith is the agent that empowers the Christian to do great things in God. And Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the Lord who does the work. When we step out in faith and trust God, God is the one who does the work in us. He uses what we have given him, what he's invested in us, and he will bless it. And finally, we can find peace in God's sovereignty. Knowing that whatever happens, God is in control. God is able to work it for your good. Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So God, he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. When we invest in his kingdom, when we step out in faith, we have to believe that God has everything in his control, that he will use it even beyond what we may see. We need to believe it and step out in faith and trust that God is in control. So you've probably heard the phrase, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And that's exactly what happened to this servant of one talent. He lost his talent, and it was given to the one who had 10 talents. If we don't step out and use what God has given us, then God will take even that one talent that we had, and he'll give it to another to use in our place. And that's a horrible thing to think about, that God has invested in us, God relies on us to use that talent. But because of fear, if we don't use it, he will take it and he will give it to someone else and allow them to use it. And so we must be like the first two servants and make a decision to use what God has entrusted to you. I'm sure none of us want to be that person who refused to step out on their potential that God had put within them. In the parable of the talents, the servant allowed the fear of his master to allow him to bury that talent. If there's a talent or a resource that God has given you that you are afraid to use for his kingdom, ask yourself the following questions. One, why am I afraid to use this talent? Two, is it a logical fear or is it an imaginary fear? Three, am I limiting my potential in God? And four, am I bearing a talent that God wants to use? The truth of the matter is that God will honor you as you step out in faith. By trusting him to use your gifting, you overcome your fear. By casting down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, we overcome our fear. By living in God's love, we overcome fear. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. And this is the promise that we can hold on to anytime we find fear trying to rear its ugly head into our life. Perfect love casts out fear. We need to draw nearer to God again and get a glimpse, get a hold of his love for us. By walking in God's love, you'll find that confidence and peace to trust him to use you. Ephesians 3:17 to 19, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God's desire is for us to be fruitful in his kingdom, and he will not allow you to fail if we'll do our part and remove fear from our lives. Then we'll be fruitful in using the talents that God has given us for his kingdom. So this brings us to the end of this lesson. I hope that this lesson has been beneficial to you and that even this week you may be able to apply something into your own life, that you might be able to remove any of those fears and restrictions that you might have allowed into your life and allow God to use you in new ways, in greater ways. So I just want to remind us again as we wrap up, don't forget this Sunday night we have the communion service. If you need the communion kits, you can collect them between 9 and 3 during the week or on Sunday morning from the church. Next week, on Wednesday night, we will be looking into another aspect of fear that challenges the Christian life. So do make sure that you join in again next week. So that concludes our lesson tonight. Why don't we close in prayer and let's just commit ourselves and this lesson that we've learnt about tonight into our hearts and into our lives. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks. Lord, that you are a wonderful, loving God. Lord Jesus, that your will for every one of us is that we would not walk with fear, that we would not allow fear into our lives or fear to rule and direct us and hinder us from reaching our potential in you. But Lord God, tonight, if there's anyone who is watching online who is struggling with fear, who has allowed fear to hinder them in the past, Oh God, we just pray that you would work your work in their heart and in their lives, that you would, Lord, give them freedom from this fear. Give them liberty, Lord God, that they can do your will and your work, that they can be effective, Lord God, in your kingdom. And Lord God, that you would bless their life, that you would multiply their efforts, Lord God. Jesus, just be with each one, we pray, in Jesus' name, until we meet again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, church.